Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos, Daf Tezvav, and we will begin on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Echad Nichas Lazara. We learned in our Mishnah, and we will now begin learning in our Gemara, the halachas of how an area of the Azara, of the Harabayas, of Yerushalayim, can be expanded. And the Mishnah said that in order to expand in Mesifan al-Ir v'Lazarus el b'melech v'navi v'ur v'turmim v'sanhedrin shal shivim v'echod v'shtei toidus v'shir u'bezdin m'halchim. So the Gemara asked not immediately from where do we know that this is the process that's used, this is the procedure that's used to expand the area of the Azara or of the Harabayas of Yerushalayim. And as the Pnei Yeshua points out, the Gemara's question is not how we know that it's permissible to make these areas larger, because we already find that the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built was larger than the Mishkan. The question is how do we know rather that all of these are the steps that are necessary to do so? Answers the Gemara: Amram Siy Barchia, the Amakra, K'chol Ashni Mare Oischa Estavnis Hamishkan Estavnis Kol Kelov V'Chein Tasu. That whatever was in place by the building of the Mishkan should be in place similarly in future generations. And as the Rishonim go through, Rishonim and Achronim go through each and everything that was mentioned in our Mishnah that also existed when Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan. Melech, we mentioned, was Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, was a Melech. Urim V'Tumim is something that many Mefarshim discuss. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. Urim V'Tumim, many Mefarshim discuss, where were the Urim V'Tumim? So the Ritva asks that, answers that, what was the purpose? What is the purpose of having Urim V'Tumim when one expands the area of a Beis HaMikdash? So he explains that the purpose is to show that this is the Ratzon Hashem, that this is what Hashem wants. Certainly Moshe Rabbeinu, who was given direct orders from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on how to build the Mishkan, we recognize that was the Ratzon Hashem. Another pshat that the Ritva suggests is that Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, during the Shivas Yimei Miluim, served in the capacity of Kohen Gadol, and he wore the Urim V'Tumim during those days, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu did have the Urim V'Tumim. Another pshat of the Tosfos Rosh says that the words V'chein Tasu that our pasuk that we're learning now mentions comes to add that even though there were no Urim V'Tumim originally when Moshe Rabbeinu expanded the Beis HaMikdash, that obligation does apply for future generations. Another shot is that actually we know, says the Pnei Yeshua, that the halach is Ein HaNavi Rishoy L'Chadish Tavar. A Navi may not add to anything that already is in existence. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't really changing anything that wasn't in place already from before. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the same concern as future generations have such a concern where there's a need for the Urim V'Tumim that are creating change. Another pshat that I saw from the Meshech Chachma is that the Meshech Chachma says that the reason why you need to have Urim V'Tumim when you make any change is because something that's done through the decree of the Urim V'Tumim has permanence, cannot be nullified. Similarly, anything that was done through Moshe Rabbeinu cannot be nullified. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu building the Mishkan, since it was Moshe Rabbeinu building it, we don't need to have Urim V'Tumim. In future generations, where it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu building it, to give it the permanence, we had to have the Urim V'Tumim. The next thing that the Mishnah mentioned was the Sanhedrin. Where was there a Sanhedrin in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu building the Mishkan. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that indeed there was a Sanhedrin in place already in that time. Another pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu was in the place of the 71 members of the Sanhedrin. A third pshat that I saw is, as we find throughout the history of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, that there were always Zakenim that were together with Moshe Rabbeinu. These are the Zakenim that served as the Sanhedrin when they made the Mishkan. V'chein Tasul Doiris. So as we just explained, the procedure that was in place in building the original Mishkan should be the procedure for future generations also. Ask the Gemara, Masiv Rava, asks Rava, it says in the Braisa, Kol HaKelim Sh'asa Moshe, all the Kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu made, Mishichasan Mikadashtan, the Mishicha of the Keli, the actual anointing them. And as the Chazanish points out, the anointing doesn't mean that the entire Keli had to be anointed with oil, rather just a drop of oil put on them is enough. The proof he brings is because we know that the Kohanim had to have Mashicha, and the Halacha is just a drop of oil put on the Kohanim accomplishes Mashicha. So the Braisa says, Kol HaKelim Shasa Moshe, all the Kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu made, how do they become Kadosh? Mashichasa Mikadashtan. And in fact, with this we could answer a diuk that the Brisker Rav makes. We look in the Pesukim say, Pashtruma Tetzava, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, V'atu Tetzavas B'nei Yisroel, V'yichu Eilecha Shem in Zayizoch. The Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'atu Hakrev Eilecha Aaron Achicha. Why is this, why does the Torah keep on using the words V'atu to Moshe Rabbeinu? Perhaps, because as we're learning now in the Gemara, the situation in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu was somewhat different than it was in future generations. As we're learning now, Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a concept of Mashiach, which wasn't in place in future generations. How does the Torah make this point? By saying, Va'ata, your acts will be somewhat different than in future generations. So again, says the Gemara, the Braisa says, Kol HaKelim Sh'asa Moshe, Mashichasa Mikadashtan, Mikan Ve'eluch, in future generations, Avodasa Mikhan Chasam. Just doing the Avodah with them brings the Kedusha. V'mai, but based on how we began today's shir, V'neimah, doesn't the Pasuk say, V'chein Tasul Adoris, that in all generations the same procedures should be used? Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam, Domakra, V'yimashchem V'kadosh Hasam, to teach us, Oysam Mashicha, only in that generation was there halacha that Mashicha was required, and future generations, V'loy L'doros V'mashicha, there was no requirement to have Mashicha in future generations. Ema asked the Gemara, perhaps what the Pasuk is teaching us, Oysam Mashicha L'doros, Oysam Mashicha, in that generation, the only way of being Mekadosh HaKeli was through Mashicha. L'dairis, in future generations, you have an option. Oyba Mashicha, Oyba Avoida. You can use Mashicha or Avoida. Amar Papa, answers of Papa. Amar Kra, Ashiyar Sharsu, Oysam Mekadosh. The Pasuk uses the words Yisharsu to teach us Tolam HaKasa B'Sheris. The Torah says specifically that all you need is Sheris. Ask the Gemara, Hashd the Kos Rachmano Yisharsu. Now the Torah says that Yisharsu is enough, that Yisharsu is what affects the Kedusha. Oysam Lomeli. Why do we need the word Oysam to teach us that if that generation alone there was Mashicha, not in future generations? Answers the Gemara. Eloi Kos Rachmano Oysam. Had the Torah not used the word Oysam, have a mina, I would perhaps think, Hani, that in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, who the Mashicha, that's where Mashicha is used. However, L'dairis, in future generations, you need to have both Mashicha and Avoida. Doksiv, doesn't the Torah use the words V'chein Tasu, which seems to indicate that everything that was in place in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu remains in future generations also. Therefore, says the Gemara, the Torah had to go out of its way and say, Miet Rachmana Oysom. The Torah has to say the words Oysom to teach us Oysom and Mashiach. Only in that generation was there a Dira Mashiach, Veloyla Doris and Mashiach, not in future generations. In future generations, there is no obligation to have Mashiach. This is Machlaikis Rishonim. How in future generations, what does it mean that you have to have avodasa mechanchoscham? The Rambam is of the opinion that you have to have actual, as long as you prepared the keli to use it for a specific purpose, even if you haven't yet used it for that purpose, that is already in the category of avodasa mechanchoscham. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say that just preparing the keli for that purpose is inadequate. You have to actually have used the keli for the purpose that it's designated, and then it falls into the category of avodasim mechanchosam. Similarly, there's a machloikus achroinim regarding the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, What is mechanech those kelim? The Migdash Dovid is of the opinion that just placing the kelim, like the shulchan or the menorah, in their proper place in the Beis HaMikdash falls under the category of avoidosa mechanchosam, whereas the Chazon Ish says that not only putting them in their proper place creates the concept of avoidosa mechanchosam, they have to actually be used for the purpose that they were made for. That's when they have a chinuch. And in fact, the Mefarshim say, and it's actually Yerushalmi, that according to these opinions, we're going to have both things happening simultaneously. The chinuch and the avoida will come b'bas achas. We furthermore learned in our Mishnah that shtei toidus, two carbon toidus, were brought along in the procedure of adding to the azorah to the Beis HaMikdash. Tana, says the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa, when we speak about the two Toidus that come along, Shtei Toidus Amru, Belachman V'Loy B'Psarim. When we speak about the two Toidus, we speak about the loaves that come with the breads, not the breads themselves. Not the carbon Toidus themselves. For as we know, the Halacha is when a carbon Toidus is brought, 40 loaves of bread are brought along with it. 10 of four types. The four types, three are matzah, which are called chalois, rikikin, and revucha, different types of matzahs that are baked in different ways. And the fourth type is loaves, chametz loaves. From those 40 loaves, 10 of each type, one of each type is given to the kohen, and the other 9 remain with the owner, belong to the owner, that he could eat as he's allowed to eat the carbon toida. So says the Braisa that the carbon toida, when we speak about shtei toidas in our Mishnah, is talking about belachman v'loy b'psarim. Although the Mefarshim point out, Migdash Dovid makes this point, that even though we're going to learn in a moment, the Pasuk teaches us that so was the required procedure, a Pasuk in the days of Nehemiah. In the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, point out to Rishonim, it wasn't required that they should have two Toidus. And again, the question is, why is it different? If we're learning in our Shiv Chayim Tasu that the same procedure that was used in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu should be used in future generations, shouldn't it apply to this rule as well? So the Migdash Dovid answers based on the previous Gemara. In the previous Gemara, we learned that in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was the Shemen HaMishcha. So since there was the Shemen HaMishcha, that brings a higher level of Mashicha, and therefore, since it brings a higher level of Mashicha, a higher level of Kedusha, we don't have to have the Shtei Toidus. Only in later generations, where they did not anymore have those carbon, that opportunity, the Shemen HaMishcha, and they were Mekadosh, as we're learning through the Avodah, do they have to also bring along the carbon toida? And our Gemara is saying that what is meant when we say we bring the carbon toida, it means that the loaves of bread, two of the loaves of bread that were brought with the carbon toida, is what the Mishnah refers to. Ask the Gemara Menonimili, from where do we know that that's what's meant? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Chizda, the Amar Kro. Vamida shtei toidus gedoilus, vataluchas lamin ma'alachoyma. Nechemiah says, as he was being Mekadish, the wall of the base of Yerushalayim, he brought these two toidus. My gedoilus. What does it mean when he says that he brought large ones? Ilema min min godl mamish, that he brought large animal, name a parim. So then it should say that he brought bulls, which are the largest type of animals. Ela gedoilus b'minam. What it means was that from the type that he was obligated to bring, from the animal that he brought the largest. Ask the Gemara, mi'ikah chashivus o kabeshmayim. Does that make a difference to Hashem if you bring the large, a larger one or a smaller one? V'tanan, doesn't it say, and this is the way Or Chaim HaKadosh explains this Gemara, the Torah, when it speaks about the oilus behema, says the words ishereich nechayach, and the Torah uses the same words b'oilus ha'oif ishereich nechayach, and the Torah uses the same words b'mincha ishereich nechayach. The fact that the Torah says the Or Chaim HaKadosh in explaining this Gemara is so specific in requiring that, in using the exact same words but all three types of kabbonis, even though they're very different, to teach us, it makes no difference if you bring big or small. So it's hard to understand, says the Gemara, that what Nehemiah meant when he says gedoilus, that he brought the largest, that's not what's important. Of course, say the Mefarshim, that if somebody doesn't bring the largest because he doesn't want to spend money on the avoid of Hashem, that is unacceptable and that is not to be condoned. But what we're focusing on, says Seder Mefarshim, and this is how Tosfos explains the Gemara, why are we so concerned about the size of the animal? For even though, as the halach is, one is supposed to bring the biggest, it's not what, so that's what the Torah wants, that you have to bring the biggest, but it's not something that he would boast about that he bought the biggest. And as the Ritva explains our Gemara, because Ritva says what the Gemara here is teaching us is, it's not the size that's required. What's required is the person's intent in making and in showing that the mitzvah is important to him. And therefore, in fact, there's an interesting shaila that is answered based on this Ritva. Let's say somebody has two esrogim that he could possibly use. One is an esrog that he grew in his, on a tree that he owns, and he worked hard to try to get a beautiful esrog grown. And another is an esrog that he could buy in the store. And perhaps even the esrog in the store is nicer than the esrog that he worked on. But what we see from our Gemara is Echra Mabe v'Echra Mamet. What's important is the effort put into the mitzvah. And therefore, perhaps that's why you should use the esrog that one worked on himself, which represents a nice esrog. And in fact, I saw the Mefarshim explain that the Gemara says that one should have a talisnor of mitzitzusnor. So the question is, we can understand why you have to have a tzitzusnor. There's a concept of hidden mitzvah. But why do you have to have a nice beged? But say the Mefarshim, if one is having a nice talus, if his purpose in having a nice talus is to show that the mitzvah are important to him, then not only should he have nice tzitzis, but he should have a nice talus, a nice beged, to show his hidden mitzvah. Even though I saw when this vart was sent over to the Brisker Rav asked, so if so, one should have an obligation to make a beautiful home, so he should have where to put up the mezuzah. So I saw Rav Moshe answers that Diuk, and Rav Moshe says that by tzitzis, where somebody's wearing a talus, and it's obvious that he's wearing the talus to be mekayim the mitzvah tzitzis, so there we could say that he's making a talus snor in order to have, that the talus and the tzitzis are connected. It's hard to say that somebody's building a home just to have a place to put up a nice mezuzah. And in fact, I saw that in the Farshim, the Paiskim used this concept of Echra Marbe v'Echra Mamet regarding an interesting question that the Marim Mintz discusses. He says that everyone is in agreement that if someone was magdish an animal, somebody designated an animal for carbon, and then someone else stole that animal, if he returns an animal that is kosher to bring as a carbon, even though it's not of the same quality and the same value as the animal that he stole, he's mekayim the mitzvah. That's fine. Because the animal, he returned an animal that this person could bring now as a carbon. What would be the halacha, says the Marim Mintz, if someone had a beautiful esrig, an expensive esrig, and someone else stole that esrig, and now he wants to return, and he returns an esrig that's a kosher esrig. What would be the halacha? It's not the same value, it's not the same beauty, but it is a kosher esrig. Has he fulfilled his obligation? And Marim Mintz says if the halacha is so by carbon, so too will be the halacha by esrig. However, there are many that disagree with the Marim Mintz, the Mishnah Lamelech, the Chacham Tzvi, because they explain, by a carbon, if I designate an animal as a carbon, that animal is no longer mine. So as long as the ganef replaced the animal, and now I have an animal that I could bring as a carbon, it's fine. However, they point out, when it comes to the issue of an esrig, the esrig belongs to the owner, that he has financial stake in it, he has equity in it, he has the right to sell it if he should so want, and therefore he has to replace him in an esrig of the same value. Because they say, the Chacham Tzvi makes this point, it would be hard to say a difference, it's hard to understand, that if one stole an esrig from an esrig merchant, the Marim Mintz would agree you have to give him back an esrig equal in value. And if you stole an esrig from an individual, you don't have to give him back an esrig of the same value. It's hard to make such a distinction. However, I saw Paiskim that say, no, based on our Gemara that teaches us the concept of Echad Hamar BeVechad HaMamet, what's important is only that you should have the proper intention to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, and you can be Mekayim the Mitzvah with a small esrig, just like you can be Mekayim the Mitzvah with a large esrig. Therefore, the halacha is, you can give back a small esrig and be Mekayim the Mitzvah. The Ben Yoyada points out what's pshat in the wording Echad Hamarba Vechad Mamet. What's the Echad? So he quotes the Gemara in Masechet Kedushin. The Gemara in Masechet Kedushin says that Loilam Yira as Adam Oilam, a person should always see the world Chetzi Zakai VeChetzi Chayiv. The world is exactly half and half. Also mitzvah achas, if somebody does one mitzvah, hechriyas atzma yivaskal oilam l'kav schus. Echor hamarba. A person should realize when he's doing the mitzvah, he's being marba. He's not only saving himself, but he's being marba the whole, that one mitzvah could change the status of the whole world. And he goes on to make an interesting point. He says that the gematria of the word of the words Lev Sameach are the same gematria as the word Shemayim. And the lesson being, V'chad Shechaven Liboy L'Shemayim, what the lesson here is that how does one come to have Liboy L'Shemayim? By having a Lev Sameach. By fulfilling mitzvahs, the Simcha, that's how it could have of Liboy L'Shemayim. But then I saw from the Kotzker, a beautiful vort. He says, why does the Gemara first speak about the Marba and then the Mamet? Echra Marba v'echra Mamet. It shouldn't say Echra Mamet v'echra Marba. First we speak about the person who does less. So he says, the person who's the Marba sometimes has a harder job than the person that's a Mamet. Because the person who's a Marba believes that he already was Mekayim his obligation by doing so much, by spending so much money on the carbon. Therefore, it teaches us that it's not enough to be a marba. You still have to have Liba L'Shamayim. Another beautiful vart that I saw in this Gemara is that the Gemara here is teaching us that there are many different ways on how to serve Hashem. There's some that serve Hashem by being marba k'foyt Shamayim. There's some that serve Hashem by being mamet, by recognizing that we the human beings, a mammoth, are really not anything special. All of these ways are acceptable ways of worshiping Hashem. Every way, every path leading us to worshiping Hashem is fine, as long as we all have the same kavono, vachi chaven libay l'shemayim. So again, the Gemara says, when the pasuk says that Nehemiah brought it's hard to understand that he meant the carbon, that he meant that he brought large animals. Says the Gemara, what does it rather mean? El gedoyle shebetoydus, the largest loaves that are brought along with the carbon toida. Or my nihu, which loaf does that refer to? The chametz loaf, the tanan. For as we learned in the Mishnah in Masechet Menuchos, hatoida, five saw of wheat of Yerushalayim measure, shenshesh medbirius. As the Gemara mentions in a number of places, originally the saw had in it what was took off five saw, what originally had been six saws became five saw. They enlarged the saw. In other words, what originally been one saw was only now 5/6 of a saw. The way to identify what was the size of the original saw versus what is the size of the later saw, the original saw is called the saw Midbarius. The later saw is called the saw Yerushalmius. So says the Mishnah Masechta Menachos, Hatoida Hoy Sabah, Min Chomis Saw in Yerushalayimus, they used to use five saw of Yerushalayim measure, Shein Shesh Midbarius, which is six according to the old measure, Shein Shtei Eifus, which equal two Eifus, the Eifus Shal Son, and Eifa is equal to three saw of the Midbar Son. Esrim Isarun, 20 Isarun were used to bake the loaves that came along with the carbon taida. Asara, 10 Isarun of those 20 were used to bake the chametz loaves. Vasara, and 10 Isarun were used to bake the matzah loaves. Over matzah, and as we said before, in the matzah type of loaf, there was shloish sheminim, chalz, rikik, and ravuka, which means 10 Isarun were used to bake 30 loaves, the 30 type of chametz loaves, the chalas, matzos, rikikin, the chalas, rikikin, and revucha, and 10 isarun, the exact same measure, was used to bake the 10 chametz loaves. So we see that the size of every chametz loaf was three times the size of every matzah loaf. And that's what the pasuk means, that the loaves that were larger, the matzah loaves, the chametz loaves, were the two loaves that were brought along to use in the procedure of expanding Yerushalayim. Amar Rama Bachama, continues the Gemara, says Rama Bachama, Ein Hazar Miskadeshes El Bishar Mincha, that if one wants to expand the Azara, there the Shiare Mincha were used. My Tama, why? Says the Gemara to Yerushalayim. Because we compare the Azara to Yerushalayim. My Yerushalayim, Dover Hanechaba Makacha, just in Yerushalayim, what is used to accomplish the expansion? The something that's eaten there, which is the loaves of the carbon toida, which may be eaten by the owners anywhere in Yerushalayim. Af Azara, so too regarding the Azara, what should be used in the procedure of expanding the Azara, or be Mekadish the Azara, Dovra Nechba Mekacha, which means the Shiori Mincha, the leftover of the Karmel Mincha, that means the Koimitz was burnt on the Mizbeach, and the rest of it, and the rest of the Karmel Mincha is called the Shiori Mincha, and as the Mefarshim point out, even though the Shiori Mincha are much more than the Koimitz, but the main part of the carbon is the Koimitz, which is the poured on the Mizbeach. Therefore, the rest, even though make up much more volume, it's still considered only the Shiar Mincha. The Shiar Mincha, given that the Mincha is a Kodesh Kedoshim and may be only eaten the Azara, so too, that's what should be used to be Mekadosh the Azara. Ask Tosfos, and what will be used to Mekadosh the Harabayis. So Tosfos says, the Harabayis, since as we're going to learn in the Gemara, there's nothing, what's used to be Mekadosh in the area is something that may only be eaten at the area. There is no special halachas regarding the Harabayis, and therefore regarding the Harabayis, you don't have to use a carbon to be Mekadosh it. And in fact, I saw that Rabbi Yisachar Doi from Belz says that's pshat what we say every morning in the Mizmor L'Soida. Boyush Arav, when it comes to the Shari Ezra, how are we mekadosh them? Besoida, with a carbon toida. V'chatzei Raisav, the Harabayis, given that there is no requirement to use a carbon, that we use besihila. And there, and we could continue the pasuk that we say every morning. Ki toiv Hashem loylam chazdoi v'dor v'dor emunasoi. In the future generations, where we don't have the Azara, we don't have the base of Mikdash, to be mekadosh them, ki toiv Hashem loylam chazdoi v'dor v'dor emunasoi v'chatzreisa besiloi, we can be mekadosh the bate knesiyos and bate midrashos with Torah and tefillah. Ask the Gemara, if that's the line of reasoning, if we're saying that you mekadosh an area with what may be eaten in that area, so the lach metoida could be eaten the azara, so why specifically are the shiori mincha used? Why not the lach metoida? Answers the Gemara El Kirushalayim. The way to understand it is as following. My Yerushalayim Dovah Nechaba V'yotzu Menem Nefso. As Ritva explains, we use something. The point of the Kiddush is to show borders. How do you show borders? By showing this may be eaten here and not past this area. So in Yerushalayim, where the Toida is eaten, the way you Makadish Yerushalayim is with the carbon Toida. Af Azara, so too, if we want to be Makadish the Azara, we want to be Makadish it by showing this is an item that can be eaten here and not past this area. Aftova, Hanachba Vayotze Nifso, which represents the Shiur Mincha. Ask the Gemara, Imala Halon Chometz. So we should make the following argument. Just like we learned a moment ago that the Toida, what part of the Toida was used to be Makadish Yerushalayim? Chometz loaves, Afkan Chometz, so too Chometz should be used. Answers the Gemara of Tisbara, Minchas Chametz Miyinka. We're saying that the Shiori Mincha were used to Makadish the Azara. Says the Gemara, are there any Shiori Mincha which are Chametz? Ask the Gemara, V'chi Tema, and if you'll suggest the Machmetz Lul Shiraim or Makadish Behu, that you should make the Shiori Mincha Chametz in order to be able to do this procedure. V'ksiv, the Pasuk says, Lois to offer Chametz Chelkom. V'amresh Lakish, Afilu Chelkom Lois to offer Chametz. You can't make a Mincha into Chametz, so since you can't make a Mincha into Chametz, there is no option to use Chametz to Mekadosh the Azara, and therefore we use the Shiori Mincha which are not. In fact, I saw the Mefarshim explain that this concept that our Gemara is teaching, that we have no option and the rules change regarding this concept of Kiddush, we see in another place. We see that Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkos. Our Gemara is about to ask, perhaps it should be inaugurated specifically on Shavuos, because that's when we have the Shtei Lechem, which is Chametz. Point out the Mefarshim that how could the Gemara ever have a Mina like that? Shlomo Melech did it in Sukkos. How could the Gemara suggest, as we're about to learn, that it should be done in Shavuos? The answer is, say the Mefarshim, that of course, if there are no options, we want to build the Beis HaMikdash. We want to inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. And it has to be inaugurated as soon as possible. There the halacha is that we should use whatever we can. Just like our Gemara says, if you can't use matzah, use chametz. But ask the Gemara, why indeed isn't there an opportunity to do it with chametz on Shavuos? Because efshad the mekadosh b'shtei lechem b'tzeres, the halacha is that the shtei halechem was brought on Shavuos, and that's chametz. Answer the Gemara, because that isn't an option. Shundai efshad. Heichi nevet. Nivne me'esmael v'nekadosh me'esmael, to have it built before Yontif, and be mekadosh before Yontif. And says the Gemara, at that point the Shtei Alechem aren't Shtei Alechem, because the Shtei Alechem only get their Kedushas HaGuf of being Shtei Alechem B'shchitas Kvasim Hudakachi Nivnim Esma, to build it before Shavuos V'nekachi Idna and B'mekadosh today on Shavuos. Says the Gemara, that wouldn't work because B'inin Kiddush B'shas HaBinyan, and here we would have the Binyan and the Kiddush weren't on the same day. Nivne b'yontif, to build it on yontif, and therefore being the katshe b'yontif, ein binyan migdash toich yontif. The halacha is that you can't build the base of migdash on yontif. Just like Shabbos, the halacha is, the Torah says that even though there's an obligation to build the base of migdash, it's not toich Shabbos, so too is it not toich yontif. And in fact, I saw Reb Cheskel Abramsky says that we say in the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, Mizbeach Chodesh B'tzion Tochen. We only speak about it, we only say these words, he says, in the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. No other Musaf. He says, why? He says, a beautiful pshat. He says, because Rosh Chodesh, we know, we can build a new Beis HaMikdash. So in all the other Yom Tovim, we don't speak about the rebuilding of the Mikdash, or the rebuilding of the Mizbeach. Because our Gemara just taught us that ain't Binyan Migdash Doich Yontif. Rosh Chodesh you can. That's why in Rosh Chodesh we say the words Mizbeach Chodesh B'tzion Tochen. But the Achronim ask that the Gemara discusses in Masechta Shabbos that one is allowed to make cheese on Yontif if one needs to eat cheese, even though the halacha is that if somebody makes cheese on Shabbos, he's chai because it's considered boina. But Baina, it's mutter on Yontif letzarich eichel nefesh. So ask the Rishonim, why don't we say the concept umetayich shehutru letzarich hutru nami shaloi letzarich? And the halach ought to be that we should be allowed to build the base of Mikdash on Yontif because all malachas become mutter on Yontif. So the simple teretz is that the Chasam Sofer says that we only can rely on mitoich to do something that we need letzorich yontif. We don't need the base of midrash letzorich yontif, and therefore it's not mutter. Others say that certain malachas are involved in the building of the base of Mikdash that are not permissible ever to be done on yontif. Some say it's the malacha mamarech, some say it's the malacha of makabe patish, and therefore, since all these malachas may not be done on Yontif under any circumstances, and those malachas are involved in building the Beis HaMikdash, therefore, there's never a heter to build a Beis HaMikdash on Yontif. But now, there's another question. The Rambam paskens, and so is the halacha, that all members of Klal Yisrael have to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Men, women, everyone. And we know the halacha is that women are exempt from mitzvah sasasheh zman grabah. So if we're saying now that one may not build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, on Yontif, we're going to learn in a moment it's not allowed to be built at night, so it remains a mitzvah sasasheh zman grabah. So why do women have to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Divrei Malkiel answers, because the Torah says, when it came to the building of the Mishkan, V'yavoyu ha'anoshim al ha'anoshim. So the Torah, so to speak, is giving a zeres akosiv that this is an exception to the rule, and here women do participate. Another pshat, based on the Turi Evid, is when we say that women are exempt from mitzvahs asayshas man groma, it's only regarding mitzvahs that have a specific time when they have to take place. And then there's a rule that women are exempt from mitzvahs asayshas man groma. There is no specific time when the Beis HaMikdash has to be built, and therefore it's not included in the category of mitzvahs asayshas man groma. The Stipler gives a different answer. He says, since the halacha is that b'di'evid, if a Beis HaMikdash was built at night or was built on Yontif, the Beis HaMikdash is not disqualified, so therefore it's not considered mitzvahs asayshas man groma. One more teretz. Even though the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash did not take place on Yontif, on Shabbos at night, but on night, you are allowed to prepare for the building of the Beis Hamikdash. You're allowed to do acts of preparation, even on Yontif and Shabbos, if it doesn't involve Chil Shabbos and Yontif. So therefore, it is a mitzvah, which is obligated all the time, and therefore, it's not considered a mitzvah seishes man grama. Says the Gemara again, trying to figure out that we should use the shtei lechem to be mekadesh da azara, which are chametz. Neshavka lebasa hacher, should we leave the shtei lechem for the day after yontif, for nivniv in the kachi, and then build the base of migdosh and be mekadesh it? If slabalina, they become disqualified by being left over. Nivniv imal yoyma, suggest the Gemara, let's build the base of Migdosh erev Yontif, umeshai beporta, and leave over a drop that's unfinished. Add the Kaddish Yoyma la'alta nigmarev in the kache. So soon as Yontif ends, we'll finish that drop, and the Shtei Lechem don't become possible until Chatzos of that night, which is the halacha with all kabbonis, says the Gemara, as we just mentioned. Ein binyan beis hamikdash belayla. Dom Rabaya, menayin she'ein binyan beis hamikdash belayla. How do we know that Allah indeed is that we may not build a beis hamikdash at night? Shnema biyoyim hakem es hamikdash. Biyoyim akimai, you only can build it by day. Belayla ein akimai, not by night. Hilchach lo efshar, there is no opportunity, there is no way to bring chametz, which would be an item that's limited to the Azara, and as we've been learning in our Shir, where you don't have a choice in the Kiddush, we use something else. Ubishir, and we said that song, it was, the procedure includes song. Tarabonim, Shir Shal Toida, they sing the Shir of Toida. Mizmul Asoida, the Perik Kav, Mizmul Asoida, Haril Hashem, Kala Oretz. Bekinoiris benevolim betzatzalim, different instruments, al kolpina pina on every corner that they're being mekadesh. Vakol evan gadol shebishlayim, voimer, and he says, arimimcha Hashem kedilisani, we sang these songs of arimimcha Hashem kedilisani, and they also said, shir shebegoyim. There is no machlokes that the Shir Shebegoyim or the Shir Shanagoyim refers to capital of Yoshe B'Seiser. There's just two ways of calling it. Either it's against the Nagoyim, the spirits, the Shadim, or Nagoyim means the Pagoyim means the Shadim, or Nagoyim means the song, by singing the song we could avoid having Nagoyim. And the Mefarshim explain, because we want to make this place a Makom Kadosh, we want to make it a Makom Kadosh, we have to make sure that all Pagoyim and the Goyim are removed from this area. And if I should go on to explain that specifically the place which is used for Makom Kadosh is the place where the Shadim and the Ruach HaTumah wants to be attracted to, and we have to chase them away. Says the Gemara, Man Da'am and the Goyim, the mandam that calls the perek of Yoshe B'Seiser, and as Rashi mentions, this was also the perek that Moshe Rabbeinu said as he inaugurated the Mishkan. So mandam of the Negoim, why is it called Shish and Negoim? The Ksiv, the Negra La Yikra Ba'alecha. Or mandam of the Negoim, the Ksiv, Yipa Metzitcha Elef, all enemies will fall away. Vaymer, Yoshe B'Seiser Elyon, B'Shel Shaka Yisloinon, at and as the Chassam Sofer points out, that's only if we're calling it Shir Shenegoyim. If it's being used for Shir Shenegoyim, then if it's on the contrary, if it's being called Shir Shebegoyim, you only say up to Kiyat Hashem Machsi. That speaks about the Begoyim. But if we're saying that we're saying it because of Shir Shenegoyim, we say the whole parak because we want to include the words of Enegra La Yikra Bahalecha, which is actually said after the words of Kiyat Hashem Machsi. V'chayz v'aymer, and then the parak that says Mizmu David b'baruch b'fnei Hashem b'noi Hashem Rabbit Sorai. Interestingly, the Mashah says that these first words of Mizmu David b'baruch b'fnei Hashem b'noi are omitted. We begin with Hashem Rabbit Sorai ad l'Hashem ha'Yeshua al amcha v'chasecha sela asad. Says the Gemara, since we just mentioned this parak of Yoshe B'Seiser, says the Gemara, Yeshua ben Levi, Amalahu lahani kroi v'goni. He would say these psukim and then go to sleep. Ask the Gemara, Hechi ovi hochi, how did he do so? V'am Yeshua ben Levi, Oslus rapis b'divrei Torah. one may not use the Vetaira to as for refuah, and it says the Gemara Lahagin Shani, to protect oneself it's mutter. So the two ways of learning the Gemara. One way of learning the Gemara in the Rishonim, the Ritva learns, is that the Gemara in the Havamina thought that you can never use Divrei Torah under any circumstances. The Gemara in the Maskana is learning you could use it for protection. Another way of extending the Gemara is that the Gemara in the Havamina assumed that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had problems in falling asleep, and he used this perek to help him fall asleep, which is Usser, which the Gemara answers, he didn't use it to help him fall asleep, he used it as a protection. And that's why the minig is that Pesach by night, the night of the Seder, which we know is the Leil Shmurim, we don't say these psukim. We don't, because on that night we're protected without the psukim. Vel ki om osa, when is the halacha that one may not use divrei Torah? Only in a situation, the ikamaka. If somebody has a maka, then he may not use divrei Torah to for refuah. Ask the Gemara, id ikamaka, if somebody has a maka, osur, is it only osur v'suloi? But tanan, aloicha shel maka, ein lechelik l'olam haba, much more serious. Answers the Gemara, hit malah, am Rabbi Yochan b'roikik shanu. If he spits, and then he says a pasuk, then ein lechelik l'olam haba, v'fish ein maskirim shem shemayim l'rikika. So as Rishonim categorize this, if somebody says it lahagain, then it's mutter. If somebody has a maka, he's not allowed to use divrei Torah for refuah. If somebody, that's usur. If somebody not only uses divrei Torah for a maka, but he first spits before he says the divrei Torah, that's even worse. And ein lechelik l'olam haba, which obviously leads itself to a tremendous question. That we know that when somebody's sick, what do? We all begin to say Tehillim. The question is, how can we say Tehillim? Osulis Rapois, the Divrei Torah. So there are many answers given to this question. Of course, if it's Lahage, of course it's considered for a person to protect himself, our Gemara says it's Mutter. Another Teretz is if the person that's saying it is a Bari, is a healthy individual, if being said for a healthy individual, again it's mutter. On the other extreme, if it's being said for somebody who Rachmana Litzlan is a Cholish Yesh by Sakana, just like the halacha is, we're allowed to do anything for Cholish Yesh by Sakana, this is no different, and this would be mutter to be done for somebody who's a Cholish Yesh by Sakana. Another teretz that I saw, this is from the Tzitz Eliezer, that if it's being said for in a form of tefillah for tachnunim, it's mutter. Another teretz, which some mefarshim give, is if the person is not intending to use the psukim that is being said as a refuah, but rather what his intention is that his intention is that the schus of his davening or the schus of his learning should bring a refuah, that's mutter. And that's, in fact, the Mefarshim say, Pshat in the Gemara, Hachosh b'roishoy yastik b'toyra. A person who needs a schus, because he's a chosh b'roishoy, he's not feeling well, what's the biggest schus that could help a person? Yastik b'toyra, learning Torah. But all of these explanations lead to a difficulty, because we know that it's not just that people say Tehillim when somebody is sick, they say specific prokim of Tehillim. And if they're saying specific parakim, it's very obvious that he's using these parakim for a refuah. And our Gemara is saying that you also list rapis b'divrei Torah. So the answer given by the Sefer Achinuch is that if somebody says Tehillim, and he's saying of the Tehillim is to recognize that we are in the hands of Hashem, and by being in the hands of Hashem, we have emunah b'tochen, that Hashem will bring us the refuah, and Hashem will bring us the Yeshua, that certainly is mutter. And therefore, even if somebody says specific parakim, those parakim indicate this concept that a person, that we are all in the hands of Hashem, and that's who we are asking for Yeshua and refuah to, that certainly is mutter. And that's why one could say specific parakim that recognize that concept And that is not considered osulus rapus with the Tere Torah. And the concept, it represents that a person recognizes the godless Hashem that we should all have, Yeshua's Hashem.